And like I said, I do this twice a year for everyone who comes. And what I gave each of you to start off with, you have three things. You have the schedule for the class. You have the textbook. And you have the booklet, like this. And bring all of those every week. And just insert the assignment sheet in this book so it goes where you go. And we'll also get acquainted here in a second. We'll pass this around with your name, address, phone, email. So if I need to cancel class or whatever, I've got a way to call you, contact you. So just go ahead and fill that in and we'll get acquainted here. And we do a lot of writing, so you need a pencil. We're going to get acquainted here in a second. One of these days I'm going to get these overheads on PowerPoint or something. Meanwhile, this is like the good old days, an overhead projector. So, well, welcome, and I'm Pastor Nairns, and when we pass the sheet around, after we kind of do a little introductory material here, we're going to just kind of get acquainted, because after this class goes, we're all going to kind of get to know each other a little bit as to what our backgrounds are. So, each week, we begin with a prayer unique to that lesson. Now, we're about to go through and give you, this is an overview class tonight to introduce you to this class. If you can turn to your textbook to page 34, please. Turn to page 34. There's a prayer at the bottom of page 34. And there's some wonderful prayers and collects in this textbook. So at the bottom of page 34, with a picture of the rich man and Lazarus, let's pray together as a class out loud this prayer at the bottom of page 34. And I'll lead us. Let us pray. Almighty God, who to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Okay, this is what you can do. Just close your book and look at the cover. And here's an overhead up here that matches your cover. We're going to get acquainted here in a second, and we're going to talk about what we're going to, why I love this book. But if you look at the cover of this book, there are six chief parts of Christian doctrine in this book. That's one aspect of this class. There's actually three aspects of this class. But the one aspect of it is this. These six chief parts include, of course, the Ten Commandments. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How it is that Christians pray the host and the chalice for Holy Communion. This is actually a symbol of the Apostles' Creed, the hand of the Father, the cross for the Son, and the dove for the Holy Spirit. And then, the office of the keys, the ministry, confession and absolution, pastors, office of the keys, and the congregation. All of it centers on Christ crucified. There's a woven green wreath, also like the crown of thorns, around Christ. All of this class will be summarized around the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. And what we're doing through this whole class is we will go back and forth between your Bible, this textbook, and your booklet. So, what we want to do is turn to the table of contents on Roman numeral page 5 in the front of your textbook. And turn in your booklet to page 1. It says, "What is Christianity?" And write your name on the booklet and the book. So they're yours. Write your name on it. So if you misplace it, we know that it's your book. The seal for the Lutheran Church, the picture that you have of Luther's seal, I don't have an overhead for this, but it is right here, with the cross in the center, then the heart, then the rose, and the blue sky and the golden seal. What I want you to do is, on page one, where it says, "What is Christianity?" Write the colors in without, I'm not going to hand out crayons, but in the cross, write black inside the cross. In the heart, write red. For the rose, white. The rose is white. Then just outside the rose is the sky, which is blue. And then the ring is a golden ring. And the symbol goes like this, that the blackness of the heart for our sin, therefore Christ died. The redness of his heart, his love for us, and his blood. But because of his forgiveness, our lives are white like a rose, looking forward to the blue sky of heaven and the golden ring where Christ is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. This is called Luther's seal. Luther designed this. Unfortunately, we can't have it in color in here. I've got a color copy of Luther's seal that I'm going to try to give you next week. And if you look at page 2 then in your book, if you want to know a little, this matches page 2. You can start writing some of the things down here that you, everything you see on this overhead, write it into your booklet there, which is yours to keep. This congregation is Trinity Lutheran Church, was founded in 1901. We are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The reason we're called that is our headquarters are in St. Louis. And the Lutheran Church's motto in Latin is Sola Scriptura, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, which is you can write your scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. This in Latin, Jesus Christus Dominus Est, Jesus Christ is Lord. In this symbol for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod around grace, scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ is central, he alone is Lord. Of course, the three crosses under him stand for the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are a lot of abbreviations, FSH, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The grapes for the tree of life, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. This official seal on the church when we were founded in 1847. LCMS is the acronym. The LCMS has about 2.6 million people and about 6,000 congregations. So there are 6,000 congregations like ours scattered all over the country, Canada, overseas, Mexico, and also in the continental United States, about 2.6 million people. So this congregation has actually been on this street corner almost basically since the land run. And in fact, if you go out in the parking lot where the light pole is, the white frame church was right where that light pole is. And when they put that light pole up, they hit the foundation of the old building. And they came in and told Nancy, "We hit something out here." And I wasn't here that day when they hit that foundation. So I wish I could have seen that because I've got pictures of it. And Otto Hansmeyer, who's turning 99 years old, was baptized in that church. He can tell us all about that church. So, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if you go to the next page, page 3, we're going to talk here in a moment about the foundation of the Christian church, which is the Scriptures. And we're going to have you draw in here in a moment all the things that you see here in a second. But before we do that, and we just kind of say hello to each other here, now for a second, look at your textbook at what Roman numeral 5 through basically 8. And then hold up put next to it, this assignment sheet that I gave you. You will notice if you put your hand on Roman numeral page 5 and go all the way over to Roman numeral page 8, just take a look at the table of contents for a second. Pastor Bender from Sussex, Wisconsin, who put this book together, he actually has this class set up in 24 lessons. I do this in 14 or 15 weeks. If you hold up this syllabus These 14 lessons, plus as a 15th one, because we watched the movie about Martin Luther, take all 24 of these lessons, and we do them 14 weeks, and some of them are combined. So I don't want you to throw that, let's throw you for a loop that the Table of Contents has 24 lessons, but we do it in 14. So the simplest thing is to look at this syllabus and see that today, the 20th of January, the 13th of January today, we're going to get introduced, we're going to get the lay of the land, and then look down through the whole rest of the months. 2 weeks in the Ten Commandments. Then February 3rd, the first article, which is the work of God the Father. Then 2 weeks in the second article, which is the work of Jesus Christ. And then February 24th, we'll take a break. We'll get some popcorn, literally, set the movie projector up, and we'll watch a great movie on the life of Martin Luther. Then, March 3rd, we'll do the third article, the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we spend 2 weeks before and after spring break on how we pray the Lord's Prayer. It's an outline for prayer, not just the prayer itself. Then after that, 2 weeks on baptism, 1 week on confession and the office of the keys. April 21st is Holy Week. On Monday, Thursday, there's no class. And then the last 2 weeks, the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion. These are the six chief parts on the cover of your book that we will cover. But what we're going to learn, and why I love this book that Pastor Bender has made so much, is that these are the textbooks that we're going to be using, that's printed into your book by Pastor Bender. Every week, we're going to look at a text from Holy Scriptures. Then we're going to look at a part of the six chief parts from the Small Catechism, from Luther's Small Catechism. And what's wonderful about this book, you're also going to learn every single aspect of the divine service. What is an intro? What is a Kyrie? What is the Nunc Dimittis? What is the Magnificat? What is the service of the sacrament? Why do we sing the Gloria in Excelsis? You're going to learn every single part also of the divine service. His is the only book, this book, Lutheran Catechesis, that I have found in the market anywhere that combines biblical doctrine, the catechism, and the hymnal and the liturgy. So in 14, 15 short weeks, it'll fly by. We're going to cover so much material. And Pastor Bender's writing is fantastic. We're not going to sit here and read this book in class out loud. Only sections of it we will do. Before we get started, everybody just kind of tell the other person your name and what your religious background was growing up. So,
I'm Steve Lemke, and I'm a lifelong Missouri Synod Lutheran. I went to parochial school, grades 1 through 6. Was confirmed as a 13-year-old, so I've been through this. I've been a member of Trinity here for 20 years. We've lived in Norman 20 years, and for a long time I've wanted to refresh and take this classic, and now I'm getting a chance. And I've got a friend who can't be here tonight because he's working late, but hopefully he'll get to make it part of the class too.
Love to have him. Chance, one of our college kids, can't make it tonight. He's going to start coming next week too. So, okay.
My name's John, and I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, but my dad is from St. Louis, Missouri, and I think that there's, whenever we first moved here when I was 12, I had a strong desire to come check this church out, just because I wanted to know what was the difference between Presbyterian and Lutheran.
Okay.
And it didn't make sense to me I still don't know, actually.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. So about 3 years ago, I was encouraged to visit the Lutheran Church. And so I visited the First Lutheran up in Oklahoma City.
Okay. Yeah, I'll call and see if she's going to bring the kids next week.
And the University Lutheran Church, the LCA.
So you pretty much would say you had Presbyterian background growing up.
Pretty much.
That would be the kind of the way to summarize it.
Yeah, but my dad did when I was 16, transferred to the Southern Baptist Church.
Okay, so you also have experience with the Baptist Church.
Too. Right.
Okay, Cindy, what's your background?
My background is ALC, American Lutheran Church. In my day.
Because you grew up, where? You grew up where? Kansas, okay.
In the Kansas City area, they were predominantly ALC. In other areas, there was American Lutheran Church, but there was also a Lutheran Church of America in the LC area. And there was also...
Wisconsin Synod?
No, there was something else along, you know, along the same lines. I don't remember now what it was. But my home church was American Lutheran Church.
Okay.
And so that's where I was confirmed after 3 years of confirmation as a teenager. Then when I went to Indiana, then the church I joined was LCA. And then I started playing the organ almost immediately from the time I joined that church. And then a job came open in the Missouri Synod Church across the river.
In Indiana.
So I actually played at University Lutheran in West Lafayette, probably where England was.
Okay.
So that was really my first introduction to the Missouri Synod Church. And that might not have been very representative because it was really very little.
Okay. And then Sydney was our organist for 10 years here. Am I right? It was 10 years, right?
11 and a half, actually, but I try not
11
to
and a half. That's more than a decade. That is hard to believe. That is hard to believe, isn't it? And both of her children were confirmed here. They're adults now, but both of her kids
and
were.
And I've been here 17 years old.
Have you really? Oh, I can't believe
that. Not quite as long as you do.
Felix, what's...
Okay, I'm originally from New York City. I was raised as a Catholic. And Sandy and I were having lunch, and she was telling me about her church. I said, don't go.
All right. So you were raised Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was struck by how similar.
The liturgy. And,
yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
The liturgy. And the purpose of this class is to show you what Lutherans believe. But as we get especially to baptism, Holy Communion, and the office of the keys, we will at that point have to explain, like for instance, there's three different understandings of baptism among, you know, the Catholics, kind of the Protestants, and then like the Baptists. And there's three different understandings of Holy Communion from the fundamentalist community, from the Lutheran community, and Roman Catholics. So we'll have to highlight those differences there. So great to have you here. We're going to have a lot of fun going through lots of material. And what I want you to do, just to see kind of where we're going with the class, like, so I explained that we're doing 24 lessons in 14 weeks. Next thing I want you to do is just turn to Roman numeral page 12, where it talks about the cover. And going back again to the cover, I believe in writing, you're going to be writing a lot of notes into your textbook and in your booklet. If you look on Roman numeral page 12, go down to the second paragraph, and circle in the second paragraph the first sentence. The Ten Commandments preach repentance or death to sinners, that is, because we don't keep it. And here we are right here. We're going to be learning all Ten Commandments closely, what they mean. Then go down to the fourth line of the second paragraph and circle where it says the Lord's Prayer. It just says the Lord's Prayer. And you can underline, preaches the holy life or ascension to the Father in the Son by the Spirit. And that's pictured, of course, by the praying hands right here. Then go down to the fourth paragraph and circle at the beginning of the fourth paragraph, holy baptism, holy absolution, the Holy Supper. This, of course, is a picture for baptism, the drops of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the office of keys and confession, and Holy Communion here. And this one right here for the Creed, the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is mentioned in the second paragraph at the top, where we circle the Ten Commandments, preach repentance or death to sinners. Look at the second line, where it says, the Creed preaches the faith or resurrection from the dead. Circle the word Creed. Now, these six chief parts are right here in Luther's Catechism. This is what we use from my classes with the confirmation kids. His actual catechism is only this big here at the front, like this. The rest of this is further explanation of these six chief parts. The reason you don't need this is if you look at the back of your book, the whole catechism begins on page 333. Go to page 333. You have built into this book the entire catechism. If you look at page 333, up at the top, just circle the Ten Commandments. We'll be looking at that next week. Tonight's a preparation class. Just keep paging through until you get to page 336. At page 336, circle the Creed. That's the second chief part. Go to page 338 and circle the Lord's Prayer. Go to page 342. Page 342. Circle Sacrament of Holy Baptism. Then go to page 344. These are kind of combined. Confession and the Office of the Keys are connected. So 344 and 345, that's the fifth part, Office of Keys and Confession. And then, of course, go to page 348 and circle the Sacrament of the Altar. Those are the six chief parts on the cover. By the way, a lot of people forget the catechism. Look at page 350. The catechism, you're going to be familiar with this. Page 350 and 351, Luther gave us a beautiful morning prayer and an evening prayer. Then turn to page 52 and 353, prayer before and after we eat. And then, a lot of people forget of what is called the Table of Duties, beginning at page 354. From page 354 to 360, Luther has Table of Duties. What's the duties for a pastor and a bishop? What do the hearers owe their pastor? Page 356, civil government, citizens, husbands, wives, etc. As you go through here, this is the Table of Duties. These are just Bible passages quoted verbatim out of the Old and New Testament about the roles for husbands, wives, children. You notice on page 359. Yes, sir.
This was Luther's formula. I mean, did he do this? Or?
He put this, he compiled it.
Okay.
He compiled it, yes, sir.
Yeah,
he compiled it. Now, the Table of Duties, these are just quoted Bible passages, right? Yeah, yes, sir. Then look at page 361. People wanted to know, Luther, how do pastors, he was a pastor of a congregation and a doctor of theology, how do I prepare myself for Holy Communion? And pages 361 to pages 364 are questions and answers in preparation for communion. So again, from page 333 to the end, you have the whole Ten Commandments, the whole catechism, six chief parts, which this is why we don't have to give you one of these purple catechisms, because it's built into this book. Then, if you turn to page 5, in the front, page 5, you actually do, it says the importance of a fixed text for the catechism. The 7th and 8th graders memorize all the parts of the catechism and the meanings. What you're going to be doing is just writing them out by hand. I'm not going to have a quiz like I do the 7th and 8th graders, although I've told people, man, I should do that, but I'm not going to. So, the small catechism in Lutheran catechesis, if you go to page 7, this is how we're going to utilize them in the class. On page 7, up at the top, circle the Ten Commandments, preach repentance. Go halfway down and circle the Creed preaches the faith that saves us from our sin. Go over to page 8. Circle the Lord's Prayer preaches the holy life. And at the halfway down, circle Sacrament of Holy Baptism. Then on page 9, circle Confession. And at the bottom, circle Sacrament of the Altar. Now, Pastor Bender is a fantastic teacher. And his writing is spectacular. There will be times that we will read whole paragraphs from his book, but you can go home and read it on your own to enjoy his narrative of how he explains all of these parts of the catechism. Now, the other thing I want you to do is, if you look at from pages 10, we're not going to read this. From pages 10 to 18, look at page 10. Part of what we're going to be learning here is that going through a class like this also serves our piety, how we pray, how we live, how we give thanks. You also turn to pages 12, 13, and 14. This book that he wrote can be used on page 13 for people who want to learn about the Lutheran Church. If you go to page 15, it's used on page 15. Adult instruction is how we're using it. It can be used for youth. Number 3, it's a refresher course, kind of what Steve was saying before. Number 4, you're going to learn the whole, all aspects of the liturgy. And then you look at pages 16 and 17 in his congregation. We'll have topical studies of the six chief parts. It's a great reference manual. It can also be used in the Lutheran day school. Another thing you can see how interesting, if you turn to page 19, how interesting it is how Pastor Bender utilizes this book in his congregation. If you look at page 20 and 21, and page 21, the backside is on page 22. Pastor Bender takes the aspects of this book and actually has this insert in his bulletin every week, where you're going through a catechetical text, a section of the liturgy and the catechism each week on page 21 and 22. I want to call him on the phone and ask him if it's possible to get these for our congregation, where you can utilize these for 52 weeks of the year. And before we now look at the overheads, I want you to turn to pages 24 through 27. And to reiterate again, this is how this class is going to be structured. On page 24, circle where it says the word of faith, on page 24, and put a number 1 by the word of faith. Each week, we're going to look at a section, including tonight, of the scripture, the word of faith, the biblical narrative. You can underline the Bible is the most important book for Christians in the church. There on page 24. The Bible is the most important book for the Christians in the church. And we're going to look at the overhead about the Bible here in a second. Then on page 25, circle the catechism in detail. Put a number 2 by that. So then each week also, we're going to take a look at this, the catechism, which is in the back of your book, a section of the catechism. One of these six chief parts. Little bits at a time. Then turn to page 26 and 27. Also each week, we're going to look at the Divine Liturgy. At the top of page 27, circle a look at the Divine Liturgy and put a number 3 by that. And so, why does the service begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? And next week I'll actually have the hymnals sitting in front of you so you can turn to these pages yourself. It's hard to turn pages when my daughter's cat clawed me in my thumb today, and so I got this thing here, and I'm trying to pet her cat, and all of a sudden the cat goes, and whoa, that hurt. Okay, why do we have, if you look at the hymnal here, up in front here, why do we begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit? Why do we confess our sin and hear the word of absolution? And no sooner have we heard absolution, all of a sudden we're singing, glory be to the Father, and then all of a sudden we're singing, Lord have mercy upon us, glory be to God on high, which is the glory in excelsis. Where did this come from? Why does the church do this? Pastor Bender also teaches that. And I can tell you, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been a pastor since 1982 for 28 years. This is the first time I found one book that combines all three of these books. I have a lot of books that all they do is go through the 16 parts. I've got a lot of other books that just look at the biblical narratives, and there's a book written on the whole explanation of the liturgy in the hymnal. But this book combines all three. I will tell you that you're going to be a little frustrated because we're trying to cover so much material, but that's why on this assignment sheet, like for today, January 13th, Your assignment really for next week, between now and next week, the 20th, is if you look under date done in class, tonight we're going with the introduction, Roman numeral page 4 to 33 we're looking at today. You can just put, read this, you know, on your own during the next week. And then your assignment, the only assignment, there's no tests in this class. This is for your benefit. The assignment would be that you would take blank pieces of paper, you would turn to page 32, and you would just copy out in your own hand the Ten Commandments. And you know what? I still do this, even though I'm a pastor, to take these texts and make them a part of it. And what's going to happen is by the end of this class, you're going to have, all the way through this, you will have the entire catechism in your own handwriting, which you have copied them out. And there's something powerful about taking a piece of paper and writing the Ten Commandments, or the Apostles' Creed, or the Lord's Prayer, rashi, writing it out. That's really the only assignment, if you will, that you have, apart from reading his text. And, by the way, this is what we do each week. We start at 7:30, at 8:15 we take a break. The restrooms are down the hall there. And then like at 8:20, we go from 8:20 to 9, and I try to finish exactly at 9 o'clock. There is a lady that wants to come with her little kid. That's why I had the babysitter here, and I guess she didn't make it tonight. We finished at 9 o'clock. And one of the beautiful things about this class, too, is that all the six chief parts in all these classes, I have recorded digitally, like I'm recording right now. And if you write down our webpage somewhere, tlcnorman.org, next week I'll give you the exact link. If you miss a class, I have all 14 of these online. If you go to our webpage and click on Bible Studies, the Lutheran Catechesis class or Don't Inquires class, you go down and you'll find them all listed. You just click on it and the audio file will come up and you can listen. And if you miss, you'll just know, okay, I'm missing lesson 3. I'll open up my book to pages 53 to 71. I'll go open up my book, click on the audio, and I will be teaching that lesson on the lesson that's on the internet. Right. And the actual commandment is just honor your father and mother. But you're right. It is the first commandment with the promise. It's not listed here, you know.
It wasn't in here either.
And we're going to have to talk about that. That the promise connected, the reason why they didn't do it, it's still there in the text of that lesson, is that when we look at the commandments, then we will look at the promise attached to the fourth commandment after we look at the actual commandment. You're right about that. The fourth commandment has a promise attached to it. But here's just giving the text of the command. Yeah. So what we're going to do now, introductory-wise, is let's lay the groundwork for this class and let's get, before our break at 8:15, turn to page 3 now in your booklet and let's talk about Holy Scripture, the Bible. Get your pencil ready to go. We'll get as much of this done as we can. Here is the Scripture, and I'll be telling you about what the better translations of the Bible are that I think are the best. On your study sheet, okay, this has all been filled in for you, hasn't it? Yeah, they copied it. So if you want to add extra notes, you can. My handwriting is on there too. When you look at the Scripture, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. There's 39 books. 5 for the law. Take your Bible and open up to the index. On table of contents. The Old Testament, which the books and the table of contents from Genesis to Malachi, you've got Genesis through Deuteronomy, the 5 books of the law, then from Joshua all the way up to Job, you have books of history, from Joshua through Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, etc. Then you have the books of poetry from Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you have the major prophets right here from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And then you've got the 12 minor prophets from Hosea to Malachi. Total of 39 books written in Hebrew and Aramaic, we call the Old Testament, which points to Christ. Then look at the index for the New Testament. The New Testament has 27 books. We call the writers of the Old Testament prophets. We call the writers of the New Testament the apostles. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, Book of History. Pauline epistles from Romans all the way down to Hebrews. Then you've got general epistles, James, Peter, John, Jude. And then the one final book of prophecy, the book of Revelation. The New Testament was written in Greek. And the New Testament points us to this Christ that has come. And the reason I put the timeline on the bottom of the page is that actually the Bible was written over a period of 1,600 years. Moses wrote about 1,500 B.C., the book of Genesis. The Apostle John wrote Revelation probably about 95, between 90 and 95 A.D. The canon and rule of how the books came together is a whole other topic that I have books that just explain the canon, how it came together. Jesus' Old Testament was the exact same one that we have, from Genesis to Malachi. It's the same Old Testament that Jesus worked with. The apocryphal books, that's a whole topic for a different day. But the purpose of this class is not to explain how the books all came together. That's a fantastic topic in and of itself. Now, what are some of the best English translations? You can write these acronyms down. You can write down NIV, which is the New International Version. You can write NKJV, which is New King James Version. And you could write down NASB, which is New American Standard Bible. And the Bibles that you have in front of you that we use each week are the ESV, English Standard Version, which is a newer one from the last maybe 15, 20 years. And the first thing we have to talk about, because I brought my Hebrew Old Testament here and my Greek New Testament here. You will hear people say crazy things about, well, if the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek, how do we know it hasn't changed over the years? How do we really know if we can rely on the text of the Scriptures? Because people have this mistaken notion. Well, wasn't the Bible like it was translated from Hebrew and then to Greek and then to Latin and then to German and eventually into English? And so during all that time, things got lost in translation. That is not how the Bible that you read has not gone through that process. This English Bible that you are reading has been translated directly from the Hebrew and the Greek into English. If we were in Japan, they would have a Bible that had been translated directly from the Hebrew into Japanese. So it hasn't gone through all these different transitions where we can't rely on it anymore. Turn in your Bible to demonstrate that before we break. Turn to your first verse of the Bible. Turn to Genesis 1:1. And I'm going to show you and I'll pass this around here in a second. I'm going to read from the Hebrew Old Testament. Hebrew word reads right to left instead of left to right. And you start at the back of the book. That takes a long time to get used to reading backwards. Okay? Now, if you look at Genesis 1:1, just follow along as I read. This is what it sounds like in Hebrew. This is Genesis 1:1. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamim wa et haaretz. And this is literally what it means. Look at your English. In the beginning, Bereshit, Elohim, which is God, bara, created, et, which in Hebrew is the, Hashamim, which is the heavens, et, and Ha'aratz, which is the earth. When you read in your English Bible, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that's the exact translation from the Hebrew. It hasn't changed over the years. It's been a direct translation from the Hebrew. You can kind of peruse this if you want. just to take a look at it for fun if you've never seen the Hebrew. And it looks like Egyptian hieroglyphics or something. One thing I will say in the Lutheran Church, since we go to college for 4 years and then we go to the seminary for 4 years, we learn, I learned Latin in high school, then I took Greek in college, I took Hebrew in the seminary. Our guys, when the vicar and I prepare our sermons and Bible classes, we're referring to the original languages when we prepare our classes. And it's beautiful to know these languages. It's so much fun to know these languages. Then, turn in your New Testament to John 3:16, which, by the way, what's neat about this Bible is we all have exactly the same Bible, and we can turn quickly to these places because it's the same page. John 3:16, this is on page 888. Page 888. Now, John 3:16, you're looking at it in English, and I'm looking at it here in the Greek. And John 3:16, look at John 3:16, I'll read it in the Greek, and then I'll translate it for you and show you the exactness of our translations. John 3:16, Hautos egapasan hothe oston kosmon, hosted ton huion ton monogene edikon, hina pas hopostoion ace auton me apolitai, ala ekain zoein ionion. And look at your English. For thusly theos, God, agapesan, loved the cosmos, the world, so that his only begotten Son, or his only Son, he gave, in order that pas pistoion, everyone who believes, eis auton in him, will not perish, but has zoein ionian, has everlasting life, or eternal life. And so the same thing is true of the Greek. It's just translated directly from the Greek into the English. And it doesn't get changed over the years. And did you know that the manuscripts, the Hebrew manuscripts of the Old Testament and the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament are the best preserved manuscripts in ancient history? We have thousands of copies of both the Old and the New Testament. And you know what was amazing when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls back in the 1940s? The Dead Sea Scrolls were 1,000 years older than any other manuscripts that we had of the Old Testament. By the way, Dead Sea Scrolls is only the Old Testament. It does not include the New Testament. It was exactly the same with the text that we still have today. And by the way, one of the things which is called textual criticism is when these scholars who know Greek like their own language, you can find the spelling mistakes that the scribes made when they were copying. Those kinds of things can be found quickly, because if you have 150 copies of the Gospel of Matthew in the Greek from, say, the 2nd century to the 4th century, yes, there are times when the scribe maybe put a wrong letter in and very quickly find out what the mistake was there when the scribes copied. And these are all excellent translations of the Bible. We have a study Bible and a study Bible which uses the ESV, and I'll bring it in here after the break and I'll show you one of my study Bibles, which is a wonderful resource with commentaries, etc. Any questions about this? We need to take a break. Yes, Felix.
How would you characterize the quality of the language? Was it very, very literary or workaday? Or
Hebrew and Greek?
Well, I mean, the writing.
Oh, fabulous. The Hebrew text of the Old Testament is a fabulous example of Hebrew and Aramaic writing. It's just, it's classic in its style. And the thing with the Greek New Testament, is what's called Koine Greek. It's like the everyday Greek. So it's not like classical Greek.
Right.
I mean, but it wasn't intended for philosophy. It was intended for clear pronunciation of this event happened, this event happened. So the Greek is called Koine Greek, everyday Greek. And the Hebrew of the Old Testament is so spectacular. So when you look at the poetry of the Book of Psalms, the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs, and you read through the Book of Isaiah, it's spectacular in its quality, in the quality. quality of which it was written. Absolutely spectacular quality. Is that what you're asking? Absolutely beautiful. So let's stand up and take a break. And you can go back and get some more coffee. And I'm going to go get my study Bible and show it to you. And the restrooms, feel free to use the restroom and just right down the hallway to the left. And we'll get started in about 5 minutes. We'll get started again here. So.